The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. It is the 24th of July, folks, 2020. And evidently the phone lines are opened up, but I'm still going to have to play these clips this hour. So if we got more phone calls and we got time, well, the clips are going to be played. Before I get back to Chris in Vegas, I want to give you a little bit more information about Mr. Whitehead. John Whitehead is an attorney and author who has written, debated, and practiced widely in the area of constitutional law, human rights, and popular culture. Okay, widely recognized as one of the nation's most vocal and involved civil liberties attorneys. Whitehead's approach to civil liberties issues has earned him numerous accolades and accomplishments, including the Hungarian Medal of Freedom. I didn't even know there was such a thing. The Milner S. Ball Lifetime Achievement Award. As nationally syndicated columnist Nat Hentoff observed about Whitehead, Whitehead is the only one of the nation's most consistent and persistent civil libertarians. Okay. And he goes on to compare him with, he's channeling James Madison. Judge Napolitano has also came out and said that, you know, here's the problem I think they're all facing. I think there's a little light. There's a little glimmer here. John Whitehead, he's a civil liberties attorney. None of these people, Judge Napolitano or anybody else, wants to admit this administrative type of government that has replaced our constitutional government. Otherwise, wouldn't that be embarrassing if somebody pointed out that, wait a minute, John, you're a civil libertarian, you're into civil rights. Well, what happened to that? How can you be a constitutional attorney when you're touting civil rights of the 1871 redo here of America? But I digress. Chris, go ahead.
Well, I certainly concur with your observations. The 1871 D.C. Incorporations Act, where it created a corporation in a 10-mile square, which is Washington, the District of Criminals, is a very deep part of the problem, because that's not even within America. It's a foreign trade zone, if you will. When they burned down the original one in Pennsylvania during the so-called Civil War, when we understand the word term civilis, comes from the city law of Rome, the Roman code of Justinian. And this is why civil rights are really privileges posed as rights. And very few Americans actually assess that properly. They claim their Bill of Rights and so on and so forth. Well, our natural rights come from the Creator. Those are the ones cited in the 10th Amendment as others belonging to the people. And that's where our true rights come from. Anything else that comes from government is merely a privilege, and what government can give, they take away, as cited in the 14th Amendment, subject to the power of Congress. These things are really, really important for Americans to understand, but since they don't teach civics or geography or national politics much in elementary school or high school anymore, and I don't know if they even offer it in college, that have been taken over by these, let's call them Marxists at the very least, who are indoctrinating these people with these Marxist and Stalinist ideas of taking over America as revolutionary terrorists, as many of these so-called white Antifa and Black Lives Matter members are. And, of course, we have to realize that those who call themselves that are of the synagogue of Satan, the Khazars, the Ashkenazi Empire, are truly the same color that we are, generally speaking, although sometimes they have olive skin, sometimes they have dark black curly hair, but generally they're light-skinned people also. The Khazars were. And this is why it makes it very difficult when they're going out and doing these deeds and framing the blame on white nationalists or white supremacists or whatever else they want to term people that think we all races have.
See,
let me survive.
Chris, let me interrupt you here, because what they did back in the 90s when the militias formed, because we fully expected the Clinton administration, along with Butch Reno, to start coming after the guns. So people said, look, they just didn't do this by the hundreds. They didn't do it by the thousands. They did it by the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. It was people that were concerned about the one thing. You know, words on paper are that. They're words on paper. Second Amendment are words on paper. I know that it's much more than that. But my point is that the Second Amendment addressed the issue of that steel and lead-firing little instrument, our right to keep and bear arms. And then they put up a wonderful argument. Well, you know, that had to do with the state's guard or the state's militia, and had nothing to do with the populace. Oh, no. There was organized and unorganized. That was the only thing that kept the Fed, I do believe, from coming after and just doing what they're doing with Antifa right now, doing what they probably wanted to do with the militias, except there was one problem. They weren't aggressive. They weren't out there intimidating people. They were not threatening people. Let me give you the lexico.com definition of terrorism. The unlawful use of violence and intimidation, especially against civilians in the pursuit of political aims. Okay.
Absolutely.
So here we've got, by the way, the origin here of this thing called terrorism, late 18th century, and this is in reference to the rule of the Jacobin faction during the period of the French Revolution, known as the Terror, from the French terrorisme, from Latin terror, and it goes on. But this has been bugging me ever since I saw this going on, and many people not coming out in opposition. We don't want to be on the communist or the Democrat side when they're protesting these federal police coming into the city. You know, they're vocalizing, oh, we don't need to do that. That's not constitutional. Well, now that they got everybody confounded and confused, there are other ways to deal with this, but it doesn't look like they're doing it, and it looks like we're being set up big time.
I'm not convinced that Trump's not being set up big time by less than competent in law, or perhaps very competent in knowing exactly what they're doing and telling them to tread on the Constitution and to enter these different areas where the waters are muddy and it's not clear. Most people don't conceive that federal jurisdiction in these federal buildings and post offices and other listed in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, enumerated powers and positions of power and authority for the government to exist within the states are very limited, specifically by the Constitution. This is something, because I've studied land grants and private grants of land made patent very distinctly, I understand what concurrent jurisdiction means. And the concurrent means that the federal have power, but within certain spheres of actual felony crimes, they may cede authority for enforcing those federal laws within the states themselves. But federal buildings themselves and post offices and things of that nature are specifically federal lands within the corporate states, so they're like a foreign jurisdiction within the geographic boundaries of the states themselves exclusively. This is very, very complex by design. They don't want the people to understand the clarity of different divergent jurisdictions within the states and without the states. And absolute exclusive federally protected jurisdiction is the language that is included that incorporates what lands of grants of land made patent are under without the states. I am engaged in a battle right now in Oklahoma over that very concept, because the lands I have there were 1896, where Oklahoma didn't become a state until 1907, so those lands could never have been within Oklahoma State's jurisdiction. Oklahoma Territory, Indian Territory, perhaps.
But you see, okay, now you can see where the problem arises there, Chris. We just can't have chunks and not have the state. We need full authority within the borders of the state. We can't have people opting out and taking we can't have them do that.
In fact, there was a CRS, Congressional Research Service, investigation into what was termed a patchwork of jurisdictions within the states several years ago, and that's one of the things I had run across that I schooled up myself on it, because when Congressional Research Service investigates a project like lone wolf terrorism or other aspects that have been investigated by the Congressional Research Service, like conspiracy, they do a very, very thorough job, and you will find the Magna Carta, you'll find Blackstone, you'll find the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, everything else is referred into there, going back to the early times of biblical times, that they cite the Bible even in there also. And I don't want to tie up your show for the rest of the afternoon, you got things you want to do, but I wanted to try to help people understand that there is a sphere that the federal government has to say what's going on within certain areas of the state, and maybe the perimeter property that the land sits on, that the federal buildings are on, they may have something to say about that. But when they go off the reservation, so to speak, picking out people and targeting them and abducting them or shanghaiing them or taking them hostage to make them disappear, it's a very, very dangerous world we're living in here in America.
Well, and you've heard me comment on this before, Chris. You know, everybody wanted the Antifa to be declared terrorist. And then the NDAA, the provisions of that are still active. It just got voted on just not too long ago. That provision is still in there. And even though that it might be Antifa or BLM or whoever it is out there, because the federal government, the FBI, and all the associated agencies haven't really seen fit to go after the people that are the instigators and the funders of this, but then they'll roll in on top of the chaos and come in looking like heroes because we're here to quell the violence. I want my damn country back. I want the rule of law back. I want this idiocy to stop. And let me ask you this before I let you go, Chris. Do you think people that have been elected to public office should be allowed to refer to this country as a democracy?
Absolutely not. Let
me stop you. What would you suggest at that point? If they're going to continue to defend their democracy and not the republic and the Constitution, for which all this is supposed to stand for, what do you suggest that we do with them?
Well, I think they should be taken out of office and replaced with somebody that understands the concept of the republic. A republic is where the rights of the single man or woman supersedes the rights of the majority. And the private property, the pursuit of happiness, these things are what are supposed to be protected in a republic. In a democracy, the mob rules, and we're seeing the effects of that. The mob itself, it screams loud enough, it assumes powers, it occupies property that has no authority to do, and you've got these criminal governors, these communist terrorists that are sitting in offices who are so left-wing.
You answered my question. So if they're not going to uphold their oath of office, swearing allegiance to the Constitution of the United States, then they should be asked to leave office. How do we enforce that?
Well, they used to recommend pitchforks and torches. They've recommended tar and feathers.
Okay, all right.
They don't tell you they lit the feathers.
All right. So now you're telling me that the next band of people that they can call terrorists, we should start tarring and feathering and light their feathers.
Well, I'm not saying that, but they need to do something to get these people out of office, whether they storm the places with peaceful protest and demands for them to come out and set abdicate their power positions because they've abused their authority egregiously. Something needs to be done to return this country to lawful republic constitutional rule, where the rule of law is ultimately what governs this place, not by activist portended judiciary who are really black robe priests of Baal archons to be able to tell us how we're supposed to live in their reprobate lifestyles of sodomy and pedophilia and mass murder and everything else that they say is okay.
Chris, you've reached your 1,500 word limit.
Thank you very, very much, John. God bless America, and thank you for the Republic Broadcasting Station. Bye-bye.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Chris. You know, what about the talking heads? They get paid millions of dollars, and they're there every day on the program, programming the American people. They're calling this country a democracy as well. And I have been saying this for how many years now, folks? Now, everybody in the media, everybody in government's calling this country a democracy. I mean, this is so far out of whack that we can't maintain a basis for anything. We can't look at anything and say this is true and correct and it needs to stand. I think that would be a perfect approach. To start hurling bags of stuff, and it's not BS we'd be throwing. We'd be throwing the real truth at them. And they need to be put on notice that every damn time that they turn around and call this country a democracy, that they get a lot of crap from the people that know different. And maybe they'll stop using it. Maybe they'll be called on the carpet about it. Maybe it'll put a monkey wrench into their wheels of injustice, and we're on our way to a new form of, you ain't going to see anything like America again. It's the new normal. These people are flat out of their minds, and haven't we had enough of it? Ken in New York. Hello, Ken.
Yes. I understand that concept, and it looks like Mike was talking about a mayor where she got her house vandalized, so she's getting firsthand experience in the very democracy she's been supporting.
Yeah.
And I think Whitehead, he's talking about revisiting or doing something, a court case with the 10th Amendment.
But 10th Amendment... 10th Amendment on which, how can you build a court case?
No, I'm just asking if I heard you mention the 10th Amendment earlier. Did
yeah.
I misunderstand? And Ralph has already said that issue can't be raised because the Supreme Court's ruled that the 10th Amendment doesn't apply to citizens of the United States. The 14th Amendment citizen.
Hmm.
Well, crazy, you know, that what I remember anyway.
Yeah.
I think a real, how would you say, a real step in the right direction for respect with the government toward us would be a question that Rand Paul asked about, maybe 5-6 years ago. Where did all these federal agencies get the authority to arm themselves against us?
Well, and what he should have done, I saw what he did, and what he should have done was explain to the people why his daddy had so much problem being a congressman from Texas in the United States government. He should have went a little bit further to explain how these agencies are now claiming the power to arm themselves and do whatever. Why didn't he go an extra step further to explain to the people where the hell these agencies came from, where this bloated bureaucracy that they keep complaining about actually came from? What's he saving it for? Until maybe he throws his hat in the presidential ring?
Apparently he didn't get the reaction he was expecting because the story died rather quickly. He's never brought it up again since.
Hmm. All right, Ken, I appreciate it, my friend.
Have a nice weekend.
Thank you. You as well. Scott in California. Hello, Scott.
Hello, John.
Hi.
The caller before last had my attention. Like he's expecting the government to fix itself. I'd point out that we got a situation where the Pentagon the CIA and the Mossad did 9/11, and it's going to be 20 years in September. And as for the DOJ, they're still busy with that JFK thing, I guess. Okay, yeah. Talk to you later.
All right. By the way, the Trump administration is consulting with John Yoo. Now, this is the Bush-era attorney notorious for justifying waterboarding torture tactics against detainees. And Whitehead says they're not looking to understand how to follow the law and abide the Constitution. Rather, they're desperately seeking ways to thwart the Constitution. And I cannot disagree with that. We've got a madcap, agency-driven democracy that's run off the rails. And there's no other way to put that one. Joe in Nome, and I'm assuming this is Nome, Alaska, because I don't know of any other Nome.
There's a few others, but yeah, I'm in Nome.
Okay.
I wanted to get this in to Claire in the last hour. But,
okay, this is the wrong place to park it, because I didn't hear their show, and I'm not going to assume that everybody that's now.
I know. But you being God-fearing Christian, I'd like to tell you this also. In Isaiah 19 and 20, it says, on that day there will be an altar to the Lord within the land of Egypt and a standing stone for the Lord at its border. It will be a sign and a witness to the Lord of heavenly forces in the land of Egypt. Now, in the Torah, letters are numbers. And if you add all those numbers up in those two tracks, they equal the height of the Great Pyramid of Giza, of Cheops, / Khufu. And furthermore, I'd like to add one more tract. Mike doesn't allow this, but anyway.
Well, it's kind of, let me just put it to you this way, Joe. Unless people know the Bible frontwards and backwards and you start quoting passage, and then you throw in that the Pyramid of Giza adds up to these numbers, that's kind of the numerology thing thrown in there, I don't know whether you're going to garner a lot of attention to the point you're trying to make.
Well, assuming that there are other people out there, like Ron Wyatt, that take a lot of the biblical stuff literally, I want to throw out this one more here as a sign of hope. In Jeremiah 9:1-1, I will make Jerusalem heaps and a den of dragons. I will make cities of Judah desolate without an inhabitant. So there's a sign of hope for the rest of us.
All right, Joe, I appreciate your call. Thank you. V in Arkansas. Hello, V.
Oh, hi, John. How you doing? I'm a first-time caller, and I just think you're awesome.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. How long you been listening?
Oh, off and on when I get a signal, because I'm out in the boonies probably about a year.
Okay, well, that's long enough to either love me or hate me. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I love you. I think James Kelso is a hoot. I like Mike Rivera. I can't say that I dislike anyone that I have been able to hear.
Okay.
So, anyway, you're awesome, and you keep doing what you're doing till the Lord tells you don't do it no more. So, there you go.
Well, you know, I'm not really paying any attention because fake messages can be sent. I'm on a track that took me, it's taken me on this journey for 30 years, and I don't know if my job's ever going to be done until I got one foot in a grave.
It may not be, and it probably won't.
Great.
So, yeah, there's a lot of us count on you and believe in you. Anyway, there were a couple of questions I wanted to ask that you may possibly have the answer to or may be aware of. I don't want to take up a lot of time. I know you got a lot of people there. Have you know about the EMP shield for vehicles, the electromagnetic pulse shield?
No, I don't know about the shield for vehicles. The only shield I knew for vehicles is not to have the electronic ignition, to have the old points and distributors set up that are EMP proof.
Well, I was listening to, it's probably the same thing. I was listening to a fellow this morning on the live call-in. I got my signal. And he said go to libertyman.com.
That would be John Moore.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. But they were talking about the EMP shield, and it's $359 and it's for your vehicle. Those that are pre-1973 or 76 are fine. But he mentioned something about the EMP shield is available for vehicles, and to the degree it's the same thing that the military uses.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't have internet. I don't have a way to look all that.
Well, how do you get the program?
I call in through my cell phone.
Okay.
And where I'm at, sometimes I get signals and sometimes I don't.
Yeah.
So
wait till they roll into the 5G. You're going to have a great signal and you can listen to the program as your brain's being cooked.
Oh, let's not do that, because I'll get my aluminum hat, my copper wires, or whatever they are. And I'm going to do my best to protect myself. But I'm on a little dummy phone. It's just the flip. And supposedly, these are the ones who can't be hacked, so to speak. Anyway, there was a thing on the television yesterday morning when I got up, and it just flipped on the news, just I don't listen to it all the time because I can't deal with all that crap. But anyway, long story short, they had mentioned something about all cell phones must have voice technology or they will be shut down in 2021. All cell phones must have voice technology. That was said on the local news. I believe it was KY3 in out of Springfield. I'm not sure, but it came on my local station. And it could have been Good Morning America or Today. But,
well, yeah, and they kind of said the same thing about cars. Remember that push? Gosh, this was years and years and years ago. That, cars that are older than this year, you're going to have to get rid of. Well, that didn't fly very well because there's a lot of collectors in this country. There's a lot of people that like the old land yachts. You ever seen a 59 Cadillac? Jeez, old Pete's, if that's not classified as a land yacht, I don't know what is. But they ran into a lot. They ran into a lot of opposition on car collectors and people that wanted older vehicles or couldn't afford new vehicles. So, you know, they put this stuff out. Whether they intend to do it or not wouldn't surprise me that they would. But the point is, are they going to be able to get away with it? I don't know. They're incrementally going to go after everything and everybody, but if they make a run at it and it kind of blows up in their face, they'll wait for an opportunity to bring it up again for the same reason, or maybe a modified sort of reasons.
Well, I'm not sure. In my little conspiratorial mind, I've been watching stuff for 40 years, and not knowing squat about squat. And went to see Bo Greitz when he had a meeting down in Dallas, Texas. They were dealing with the MARC card, M-A-R-C, for the military and various different things. And my antenna goes like something's wrong with this picture. I'm not sure what it is. And we didn't have a computer or anything or cell phones back then. But there was a lot of things that have been going on. And one of the things that concerned me about this particular smartphone is the connection to everyone having a smartphone, so if there is an announcement by someone,
everybody can get it. Under national security and inquiring minds need to know, or we need to know that they're able to get the message. So, ergo, you got to get rid of the old technology. Yeah. Okay, V, I got it. Let's see if they're able to get away with it. God knows what they're going to try to get away with next, eh?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cyber crimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, what the hell is in this stuff? This is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
All right. I don't understand this question. I'm sorry. Cut the bump. What? Well, that's how she was. See, if you were listening to the... I don't know. V, if you're still out there and you haven't had phone interrupt us, call the network and talk to Mike. Evidently, he has a question for you. All right. Now, let's switch a gear or two here. Oh, before I get into that, deadly cover-up. Now, Mr. Fauci, which many people have dug into this guy's past, and yeah, conflict of interest, yeah. Well, he approved something 15 years ago to cure coronavirus, quoting him, nobody needed to die. Oh. This is an article on August 27, 2005. Chloroquine is a potent inhibitor of SARS coronavirus infection and spread. Wow. Also recommended this piece from Zero Hedge as a reminder of hydrochloroquine's immense usefulness, titled Yale Epidemiologist, hydroxychloroquine could save hundreds of thousands of lives if widely deployed. And this quotation from a recent piece by Thierry Messon titled The Slow Disintegration of the Republic in France. According to him, Marcel Professor Didier Rolt, Neil Ferguson, is an imposter. The scientific council from which he resigned is manipulated by conflicts of interest with Gilead Science. That's Donnie Rumsfeld's former firm, by the way. In an emergency situation, the role of doctors is to treat, not to experiment. The results of doctors depend on their conception of their profession, which is why patients entrusted to hospitals in Paris were three times more likely to die than from those entrusted to hospitals in Marseille. Now, Dr. Anthony Fauci, whose expert advice to President Trump has resulted in the complete shutdown of the greatest economic engine in the world history, has known since 2005 that worked. It's an effective inhibitor of the coronavirus. And oh, by the way, folks, did you hear? They've identified six different coronaviruses. Oh, I see. So we're going to deliver a vaccine over since January? Or let's give them benefit of the doubt, say December of last year. This has morphed six different times. So how are you going to make an effective vaccine against it? The simple answer to that is it isn't. Oh, but here's what we can do. We can come up with six or eight or maybe 10 different vaccinations. And, well, to be protected, you wouldn't mind taking all those, would you? Would you? Well, how did he know this? Because of research done by the National Institutes of Health, of which he is the director, in connection with the SARS outbreak caused by the coronavirus dubbed SARS-CoV, the NIH research concluded that it was effective at stopping the SARS coronavirus in its tracks. The COVID-19 bug is likewise the coronavirus labeled SARS-CoV-2. While not exactly the same virus as SARS-CoV-1, it's genetically related to it and shares 79% of its genome, as the name SARS-CoV-2 implies. Now, they both use the same host cell receptor, which is what viruses use to gain entry to the cell and infect a victim. The Virology Journal, the official publication of Dr. Fauci's National Institute of Health, published what is now a blockbuster article on August 22nd of 2005 under the heading, Get Ready for This. Chloroquine is a potent inhibitor. They're not calling it hydroxychloroquine. They're just calling it chloroquine. Is a potent inhibitor of SARS coronavirus infection and spread. Take one more call, then I want to play some clips here. JR in Georgia. Hello, JR.
Good evening, John. How are you hearing me there, bud?
Hanging in there. What's on your mind? I got some stuff I got to do. Please continue.
I know you got stuff you want to do, and I'll be very quick. And I'm going to specifically talk about the atmosphere that I've seen with the MLB and the other major pro sports. And to your listeners who are not really
sports fans
listening to athletics,
yeah,
but there was a pitcher for the St. Louis Cardinals a couple of years ago that used to go out to the mound on his starting rotation and with his index finger wrote a cross behind the rubber. That's toward the second base area, and the MLB a few weeks later said he could not do that. But yet last night, for the full 15 seconds I watched the MLB game before I turned it off, and I saw that stencil that was printed on the pitcher's mound, I'm done.
Okay, so I get this correct, JR. Somebody at that game put the same talisman, the same cross, behind the rubber on the mound.
This individual It's an individual who went out to the mound.
Okay, can you name the individual? I don't think we're going to be giving away any trade secrets here.
Well, no, sir, I'm sorry, I cannot. I'm trying to emphasize that the fact was because this individual chose to do that on his own choosing, and now we're facing this industry corporation of printing BLM on the pitcher's mound.
Okay, maybe JR, maybe I misunderstood you because I'm waiting for the punchline here. Did he put a cross there or a BLM symbology? I'm confused.
The pitcher went to the back of the mound and wrote with his finger a cross in the red dirt clay on the mound.
Okay. All right. Okay, I got it now. All right.
And how absolutely asinine this particular situation is.
You know, it's okay to kneel, but what are they going to do next? Are they going to outlaw praying at the games? You know, to my knowledge,
they've already done that.
What?
They've already done that.
Well, wait a minute. I remember the NFL was more famous than baseball, but baseball does it as well. After the game's over, the players from both sides get together to have a quick prayer before they go back into the locker rooms. I did not know that the Major League powers that be or the NFL or whatever have banned that.
No, sir, they haven't. If you so choose to do it on an individual choice, on a per player choice.
Okay.
It's not a team.
Okay.
But as an individual.
All right, I got you. All right, JR, appreciate your call. Thank you. Was it me? Was I just dense or burned out from this week's activity, or was it not really clear? I was a little confused there. And why not mention the guy's name? Because obviously he did in front of God and all his people, or at least the people who are watching the game. I don't know. At any rate, Rodney Palmer presented to the Royal Society of Canada, talking about 5G. Two children dead of heart seizure and dozens made ill from a super-powered Wi-Fi system put into a Canadian school system. And the school's attitude on this? Oh, well, safety code 6. They said it's safe. When educational arrogance meets medical ignorance and public schools' bureaucratic viciousness, here's what this man had to say to the Royal Society of Canada.
When their findings don't fit his business model, when they don't like the message, they disparage the messenger. At my own child's school, Mountain View Elementary in Collingwood, Ontario, we bypassed the opinions of these business people and we went right to the source like a journalist would. We asked the mothers if their kids were healthy. And we got a consistent answer from about half of them. For 18 months, they'd been in and out of doctor's offices with a range of neurological symptoms. By coincidence, it was 18 months when the school installed the Wi-Fi. And we found out that at least 4 children developed erratic tachycardia that confounded their doctors, and they were wearing heart monitors to school. The older children, who were a little more aware of their bodies, told us they had blackouts in certain areas of the school. One even said he couldn't hold a pencil inside the school. And these were all symptoms that occurred daily at school and disappeared on weekends and holidays. We found out that the school board had installed a wireless internet system powerful enough to run 300 computers at once, and they thought it was awesome. There are only 7 computers in this school using this system. The parents of the affected children pay for hardwired connection. Kids could feel healthy at school again. But the Simcoe County District School Board said no. They said the children must be exposed to Wi-Fi at school. Even the children who were sick and presented to the school board themselves were told no. You may not plug your computer into the wall. You must sit all day in a sea of microwave radiation. Their reason, safety code, it's safe. Safety code 6 says we don't have to listen to your complaints. Safety code 6 is an excuse for everything. It was the only thing they had. They wouldn't tell us when it was installed. They wouldn't give us access to attendance records to try to figure it out for ourselves when it started. We wrote to the school board officials, public health officials, cabinet ministers. We did all the due process that you're supposed to do, and they all received the same cut and pasted answer. Safety Code 6 says we're wrong. There are no health effects. Two children have dropped dead in Simcoe County schools since Wi-Fi was installed. Their hearts simply stopped beating. One was named Jenny. One was a little boy named Chase. It's curious, but this would happen twice to children just over 10 years old. There are only 50,000 students in the entire school district. I did the research to find out normal and abnormal. Turns out the estimate is about 1 in 1.3 million for childhood cardiac arrest. This was 20 times higher than expected. 20 times far exceeds the level of a suspected environmental influence. And it should have been examined. It should have triggered a public health investigation. But it was only two kids, not a high number. Then it happened again. In another Simcoe County school, to a 13-year-old, he dropped from cardiac arrest in the schoolyard. Lucky for him, he was revived by a defibrillator after someone called 911. He was evacuated to Sick Children's Hospital in Toronto and had a pacemaker installed in his heart. Then within the year, it happened again in another Simcoe County school to a 16-year-old boy. He was brought back to life by his gym teacher using CPR, evacuated to Sick Kids, and got a defibrillator installed in his heart. This was four kids with cardiac arrest. It brought the observed rate of juvenile cardiac arrest in Simcoe County schools to 40 times the expected. The only response by the Simcoe County School Board has been to install defibrillators in 100% of our schools. I alerted the Simcoe County Public Health Department about an illness cluster in our school that I believe deserved investigation. I was told that according to Safety Code 6, this was impossible and did not warrant investigation. So as a trained reporter and a very experienced one, I read Safety Code where it said no one had to investigate a rash of unusual symptoms emerging after the installation of a new technology. I noticed a critical statement at the beginning of the document that we're all talking about here today. And I'll quote from page 3 of Safety Code 6 in case you haven't read it. In a field where technology is advancing rapidly and where unexpected and unique problems may occur, this code cannot cover all possible situations. But that's not how it works. The levels of safety were determined 3 decades ago and are being applied to a different world. The 21st century school is awash in microwave radiation. Children don't like to stay home from school. The special interest groups who call themselves skeptics say it's all in their heads. So how would they scientifically explain erratic tachycardia measured on a heart monitor? A child's heart moves from 68 beats per minute to 200 per minute in a single beat. How is that heart monitor measuring something that's in the child's head? One parent asked if her son could be moved to the back of the class away from the transmitter because he had a headache. He left the house every morning healthy and developed headaches shortly after sitting down at his desk. The teacher said no. The school board told him he's not allowed to accommodate any student based on an illness from Wi-Fi because it doesn't exist. His mother removed him from school permanently. This kid doesn't go to school anymore, as a mother would, who instinctively protects her children. This 9-year-old boy became one of many in Simcoe County, including my own, who didn't go to school anymore because this little boy can't tolerate the microwave radiation despite Health Canada's promise. The school board measured the levels of microwave radiation, and I'm sure this question is popping up in your mind right now. What was the measurement? Their goal, of course, was to compare the levels in the school to Safety Code 6, which we questioned. We questioned these levels, and we believe that they're inadequate. But they were going to measure against Safety Code 6, probably so they could shut us up once and for all. We were causing a bit of trouble, as you can imagine. Except what happened shocked even the school board. The very first location where they measured exceeded the microwave levels that trigger heating reaction. It exceeded the upper threshold of Safety Code 6 by 34%, and I'll be happy to supply you with this document. So we were right. Our kids were sick at school, but nowhere else. There was no mold problem. There was no recent renovation, chemical building materials, only a newly installed massive Wi-Fi system. They measured and found the radiation created by the Wi-Fi exceeded Safety Code 6 thermal threshold by 34%, and that explained why my son came home from school with red hot ears every day. He was being cooked by microwaves. School Wi-Fi operates at 2.4 gigahertz, the same frequency as a microwave oven. So did they shut it down? Did they evacuate the school? Did they alert the teachers, the parents, the students? No. No, the Simcoe County District School Board kept it quiet. They told no one. They downplayed the results as insignificant and failed to tell the parents who were begging answers. When we finally found out about the test, that we were right, they changed their approach to Safety Code 6. They now said that Safety Code 6 upper limits can be exceeded 50 times. So they relied on Safety Code 6 until it became inconvenient, and now they disregard it. They will expose our children to as much radiation as they want in order to connect 7 computers to the internet. No matter if kids are too sick to go to school, no matter if kids drop dead in their gyms, no matter if their own metric of what is too much radiation has been exceeded in a school where kids are commonly wearing heart monitors. This is real. You can look this up in the newspapers. Fast forward 3 years. My kids are safe. A local private school decided to dismiss Health Canada, take its Wi-Fi out to protect the children. And I have to spend tens of thousands of dollars to enroll them when we have a perfectly good public school system. Because the school that my kids go to chooses to keep them safe, while the public school system chooses to intentionally expose them to microwaves that exceed Safety Code 6 limits. A grade 8 boy from school had to leave recently because he developed pancreatitis. He's 13. I've been told by doctors who are pediatricians that they've never seen it. Grade 8 boy in the next school over developed cancer recently. Is it because of the Wi-Fi? Well, nobody knows because nobody's going to check. Not even when the kids drop dead in their gyms are they going to check. So why is it that nobody pays attention to this obvious problem? I submit that Health Canada is manipulating the system. I've seen their officials misheed reporters on national television, stating that there is no evidence of biological effects of microwave radiation below thermal levels when there is plenty of evidence. Stating that kids and fetuses can tolerate 50 times more radiation than the thermal threshold. There's no evidence for that. Not anywhere in the literature. I've had serious biologists, physicists tell me that Health Canada officials look like fools on this subject. Part of my 5-year journey for the truth in this matter has led me to several medical conferences. There are doctors gathering annually in the United States who are grappling with the increasing number of patients in their offices with sudden onset chronic illness. So far, they report that the symptoms can abate if they're able to turn off their newfound wireless devices. But it's tough when the entire health system is perpetuating the lie that their symptoms are fake based on the deeply flawed document that we're discussing today. Because Safety Code 6 has fallen behind the times. You've heard only from a small fraction of them today. The Globe and Mail newspaper reports that Women's College Hospital in Toronto is admitting 5 new patients a month into their environmental health clinic. The Complex Chronic Disease Program in Vancouver states that they are overwhelmed by medical referrals for electrical sensitivity and they can't keep up. These are both government funds, using government funds to examine and diagnose the very illnesses that Safety Code 6 says can't exist. That's largely because the weight of evidence model is weighted in favor of science paid for by the wireless industry. As you all know, science can be manipulated. But cardiac arrest, 2 kids who dropped dead in Simcoe schools weren't faking it. It wasn't in their head. The 2 who were revived aren't imagining the devices implanted in their little hearts. Those are real. What I urge of all of you is to rise above the mudslinging and the pretend science, and be the ones who finally show integrity after all this time. You might think your task is limited in scope, but you are in a unique position to provide a tool to the lone voices on school boards who might want to take precautionary action. You could suggest that dramatically safer standards be set in places where children are forced by law to spend 6 hours a day for their entire childhood. Right now, the entirety of Canada's youth are exposed to levels of microwaves that, if described as an experiment, would not pass an ethics committee. You can't gather data by exposing children to a classified possible carcinogen, but we do it every day in every Canadian school without collecting any data. Anyone would make the argument it can safely spray any amount of pesticide on any person for any amount of time, although that was once thought to be okay. And that's the current government thinking with microwave radiation. The arc of this public health disaster is still on its upswing. Today you have the opportunity to tip it in the other direction. Simply let Health Canada know that stricter safety standards are required for children and pregnant women. Let them know they should ignore any science sponsored by the wireless industry and start relying on independent scientists. Children know one thing instinctively, that it's wrong to tell a lie. As long as we pretend no one is suffering, this entire process is a lie. Let's start acting like children.
Thank you.
Hey, you've heard my position on 5G. I don't have a problem with it. As long as it's delivered by a USB cable. You know, wouldn't that be the sane approach? Okay, we need faster communications. Okay, yeah. You know, how fast was the Model T with its 30 or 40 horsepower? Wasn't that fast. Now you can commercially go out there and buy cars. If you got the money, it can exceed 200 miles an hour. And as far as I know, all the roads in America are governed by speed limits, so... But what would be wrong with having 5G if it's delivered by a USB cable? And why were they on breakneck speed during this COVID-19 crisis, folks, to install what in all the schools of America? Their 5G. Could they be that evil? Knowing you have to... And here's the problem. Do these county school officials or state school officials, do they not know? Do they know or just ignoring it? Is there a lot of money pushing behind this? Because with the science of COVID-19 or the science of 5G, is it doing any harm to us? Well, we're just going to take the hand-picked scientific data and we're not going to go any further. This is our lives, ladies and gentlemen. And if it turns out to be true, that we're all loaded up with aluminum in our heads, and once they turn that 5G on and you start to hear a little bit of hum, that ain't Frank Zappa singing to you. That's the 5G and the aluminum already in your brain. All right, ladies and gentlemen, please, if you would, continue to support this network. If you haven't in a while, do it now. I got one guy sitting here on the clock that hasn't gotten paid. You going to go on strike, Mike? Walking up. As soon as I leave, you're walking up. Okay, well, too bad for Jeff Bennett and Kelso and all the other folks that follow this program. I want to thank you for being here today, ladies and gentlemen. Back with you Monday, another edition of the National Intel Report. Keep pushing back, voicing your opinion. Do it more. It feels good.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.